As you know, before Perry Mason can smash the huge crime syndicate, he must locate a lovely young girl who is hiding in terror. Suzanne Barclay, who can give Mason the true identity of Gus, key member of the syndicate. And as you know, once Mason learns Gus is actually August Jansen, he'll learn the answers to a lot of important questions. But unknown to Perry Mason at this very moment, Gus is in mortal peril. It's immediately after the close of our last episode, as J.T. Dougherty, secret boss of the syndicate, says...
Albert?
Yes, sir, Mr. Dougherty?
Take him out the back way.
Yes, sir. J.T.
Don't speak to me again. I don't want to hear your voice or see your face again. Albert, you understand what I mean? I don't want to see or hear his voice again. Now, go ahead, Albert.
I really hate to do this, Mr. Jansen. Hey, come back here, Mr. Jansen.
J.T., listen to me now. You're sticking your own head in the noose.
Back in the corner, Albert.
But there's something you haven't thought of, J.T. Getting rid of me will only make room for you.
I got him.
J.T.
Albert.
I got him now, Mr. Dougherty. I'll just put him to sleep.
Wait, Albert.
Huh?
Are you stalling all this?
I might be, but I'm not. The nightclub in the garage means a lot to you, J.T., the organization means a lot.
Yeah, so?
Get rid of me and you'll have to get rid of it. Once Suzanne tells who I am, it'll blow the whole thing wide open.
You will disappear.
Yes, yes. The cops will look for me. And when they don't find me, they'll come out in the open. They'll smear it in every paper in the country. And when they do, people are going to start remembering.
Remember what?
Me. They'll remember seeing me at the club. Perry Mason saw me at the club. Mason. 100 people. And they're going to tell the cops, and the cops are smart enough to add 2 and 2.
No argument.
They're smart enough to add Gus Jansen to the nightclub and come up with answers you and the big fellow won't like. You'll have to close the club. That kicks your plans for Kate Beekman out the window. You'll have to take care of Gordy, and that'll leave you without a straw, boss. You'll have to pack in the racket, which means breaking up the organization and throwing you 2 years behind schedule. Get wise, J.T. Get rid of me, and you'll just start your troubles.
I'm not a fool, August. I'm aware of the complications, but there's no other way.
Yes, yes, there is, J.T. A simple, easy way to solve all our problems. Fix it so Suzanne Barclay doesn't talk to the cops.
How?
Well, the cops are ahead of us now. There's no getting around it. Okay, we'll have to leapfrog them. Get ahead of them.
All right. How?
There's a way that there's got to be a way.
And you've thought of it?
Yeah.
Good. Why don't you tell me?
Just a second. Got a cigarette, Albert?
Okay, Mr. Dougherty.
Yeah, yeah. Give him a cigarette.
Here.
Now, let's see. I've got it, J.T. Let's use the police. How does that sound?
All right, so far. How?
Well, let's find out what they've got. Let's learn exactly how far along they are and then beat them to the punch.
I thought of it.
Oh, you've tried?
Yes. My contact isn't able to learn a thing. The police have nailed the lid on.
Oh, your contact. J.T., we haven't tried mine. I know a girl, communications clerk.
A dear personal friend?
Well, not exactly, not anymore. We used to be dear friends, but she was starting to make trouble, so I brushed her off. But you like this, J.T.?
Tell me, August.
She's married now. She married a fine, hard-working guy. He works at night. There's just this one thing about him, J.T. He's very jealous. Can you imagine?
Yeah, we all have our failings, August.
Well, her husband is jealous, and just so happens I've got a photograph. It was taken when his wife and I were good friends. She'll do anything to keep me from showing it to her husband.
You're a cad, August. An unprincipled cad. You're going to phone her now?
I'll just drop in and surprise her. Her husband works at night.
Yeah. Yeah, very well, my boy. August, I want to make a confession. I wasn't really going to get rid of you.
You weren't?
No. I have a tremendous respect and admiration for your intelligence, August. Now, I was faced with a problem. I was positive you'd give me the solution, so I merely applied a little pressure.
Just a little pressure.
Yeah, that's all. I fooled you, didn't I?
Yeah, you fooled me.
Why, I have a very deep personal affection for you, August. I wouldn't let anything happen to you.
You're a complicated guy, J.T.
Huh? Me? Oh, I'm as plain as an old shoe.
Well, it could be like you say. Or it could be you don't want me to have any hard feelings. I'll have the dope in a couple of hours. Meet you here?
No. Now, come to my place.
Right. Where do you think you're going, Albert?
I'm going with you, Mr. Jansen.
J.T. didn't tell you to walk behind me?
No, sir.
Did you hear J.T. say he was only kidding?
I heard what he said, but I'm awful dumb. I get mixed up when I listen to what people say. I just go by how it feels to me. It feels like Mr. Doty wants me to go with you.
That's right, Albert. I'll go with him, just in case he runs into difficulties. I'm so fond of August. As I say, I won't let anything happen to him, so go with him, Albert. Stay with him. I'm depending on you to return with the information, August.
Yeah. Okay, Albert.
After you, Mr. Jansen.
You dummy.
I know I'm dumb, Mr. Jansen.
Yeah, sometimes I think you're twice as smart as I am. Now, don't stop to figure it out. Just get a move on. Now, a short time later, in the home of Suzanne Barclay's mother.
Oh, it was kind of you to come, Mr. Mason. I was just having tea. Can I offer you some?
No, thank you.
No, thank you, Mrs. Barclay. We had sandwiches earlier, and I know you're very anxious to know of our progress.
Mr. Mason, you haven't found Suzanne. If you had found her, you'd have told me. But you said progress. I'm certain I heard you say...
Yes, sit down, Mrs. Barclay.
Did you?
Yes. Our first definite lead. And I'm sorry, before I can tell you the details, I must warn you, we have to maintain the utmost secrecy, and you know why.
Yes. That man who frightened Suzanne away.
And who is still searching for her.
I won't say a word, Mr. Mason. Won't you tell me now?
Do you know the town of Smithville?
Yes. It's upstate, isn't it?
Yes, it's really a small city. Well, we have reason to believe Suzanne went to Smithville when she ran away.
Mr. Mason.
And if she did, she must have gone to a physician for treatment for her injured hand.
Yes.
Well, we'll know tomorrow morning. I have sent a man up there to interview the doctors. He's driving up tonight. He'll phone me from Smithville when he arrives. I'll tell him which doctors I was not able to reach by phone, and then he'll go to work.
Pardon me, Mr. Mason. This must be my brother.
Yes.
Donald? Yes? This is the Barclay residence. Whom did you... Oh, just a moment. It's for you, Mr. Mason. Some detective agency.
The Drake agency?
Why, yes, I believe it was.
Hello, Mason speaking. Where? Mm-hmm. All right, give me the name of the town, name of the hospital.
Hospital?
Yes, that's right, at once. I'll advise you. Paul Drake was in a traffic accident. Child on a bicycle ran in front of him. He swerved.
Harry, is he still...
He's in a hospital, hasn't regained consciousness.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry, Mr. Mason, but it won't have any effect on the search for my daughter.
What? Oh, well, I don't see any connection, Mrs. Barclay. However, well, you'll excuse me, I'm sure. And don't worry. I'll follow up in Smithville if I have to do it myself. Let's go down.
Perry Mason has no reason to suppose his friend's accident will have a bearing on the search for Suzanne Barclay. It's too bad Perry can't see the events of the immediate future, for if he could, heartache and tragedy and danger might be avoided. Be sure to hear tomorrow's important development.